All right, let me pray, and then we'll get underway. Lord, we pray that you would reveal your truth to us this morning. We pray that we would not only understand your freedom this morning, Lord, but we would live in it and the joy that comes from knowing what Christ has done for us. In Christ's name, amen. All right, during last week's message, I shared a quote from you, if you remember, from Wayne Dwyer, who said that freedom means you are unobstructed in living your life as you choose. Anything less is a form of slavery. And I told you that I agree with him, that I think he is right on the money with what the Bible teaches. Now, I spent a lot of time looking last week at the fact that Christ has set us free for freedom. What is the freedom, though, that Christ has set us free for? Now, I think Dyer is right in what he says, but here's the thing. The Bible teaches us that the only person who can enjoy the freedom that Dyer suggests, completely unobstructed, is God. He is the only one who can live completely unobstructed in any way. What God decides happens will happen. So in that sense, I think Dyer is completely right, that true freedom is completely unobstructed living. The only one who can live completely unobstructed is God. So he is the only one who knows that kind of freedom. So the scriptures never, never indicates that any of us can enjoy that kind of freedom. Never. The scripture teaches us that the option available for every person is simply two types of slavery. That's what the scriptures teach us. There is option A, which we're all born into, being slaves of sin or slaves of the world. And secondly, being slaves of Christ or slaves of God. So they are the two options available to every person, slavery to the world or slavery to God. Now again, people would say to me, yeah, but I'm not a slave of the world, and that makes me laugh. Really? You don't dress a certain way because the world has an expectation on how you will dress. You don't speak a certain way because the world has an expectation on how you will speak. You don't do so many different things you do in order to be popular in the eyes of the world. You don't buy rich things and expensive things because the world expects you to buy those. You don't weigh awake at night, sometimes concerned because you have stumbled in the eyes of the world. We are slaves and subject to the world and its desires. They control us, they own us, they affect the way we live, the choices we make, the things we love, the things we do. We're slaves to the world. We are slaves to the world and its passions, but more than that, we are slaves to sin. Now, I think this is one of the best definitions of sin I've ever heard. This comes from John Piper. Sin. It is the glory of God not honoured, the holiness of God not reverenced, the greatness of God not admired, the power of God not praised, the truth of God not sought, the wisdom of God not esteemed, the beauty of God not treasured, the goodness of God not savoured, the faithfulness of God not trusted, the commandments of God not obeyed, the justice of God not respected, the wrath of God not feared, the grace of God not cherished, the presence of God not prized, the person of God not loved. That is sin. So when we put our fears of, our hope in, our love of, our comfort in the world above God, we sin. So the scriptures tell us again and again that we're all born as slaves to sin. So yes, we have freedom when we are born. We are free to choose how we sin, in what way we sin, but we are slaves to sin and everything we do will be sinful. So that's the freedom that we have. We get to choose how you are a slave to sin. To show you how far that goes, if you opened your Bible to Romans 14:23, I'll just mention that quickly. It's not our key passage. Romans 14:23 says, "For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin." Just think about that for a second. Whatever doesn't proceed from faith is sin. Now that means that anything not directly done for the glory of God in faith in him is sinful. So if a non-Christian goes overseas and lives out their life doing aid work, they are sinning. Because they're not doing it for God's glory, they're doing it for the glory of humanity. And that is sin. It's not lifting up God for who he is worth. So their great act of sacrifice and love in the end is sin. Because they act that they like they have this love, this compassion, this mercy apart from God. And yet we know God is the source of all love, all compassion, all mercy. So to act with love without acknowledging God who gives you love is to slam it in his face. The Westminster Confession says, works done by unregenerate men, although for the matter of them they may be things which God commands and are of good use both to themselves and others, yet because they proceed not from a heart purified by faith, nor are done in a right manner according to the word, nor to a right end the glory of God, they are there sinful and cannot please God, or make a man meet to receive grace from God, and yet their neglect of them is more sinful and displeasing unto God. The good things you do are sinful and won't please God, and to neglect them will displease God and make God unhappy. That is the state of everyone in the world. That's what it means to be born as slaves to sin. This is the biblical picture of sin. We're unable to please God. We're unable to escape the world's desires. And every one of us is born in that condition. Your child, when you're a parent, is not born perfect. Let me paint a picture of a conversation I overheard between Bea and Maddie. It was slightly weird. It went like this. She said, Maddie, come here. I know your natural inclination is going to always be to share with your sisters. But what I'm going to do for the next half an hour is teach you how to be selfish and throw a tantrum when you don't get things your way. After that, I will teach you not to admit when you do something wrong. And instead, I'm going to teach you to say, I don't know. It goes like this. How did this happen? I don't know. I mean, that's ridiculous, isn't it? No one ever does that with the children, as far as I know. I certainly didn't do that with my children. They figured it out all by themselves really early on. Because we are born as slaves to sin, with a natural inclination to put ourselves first, God second. To glorify ourselves and not God. To slam grace in his face. That's what it means to be born as slaves to sin. So this is our state, and all sin is ultimately a rejection of God, and God has decreed that because we've rejected him, he will reject us on the day of judgment. We will stand before God, he will list our sins, our rejection of him, and then he will send us to hell with all those who rejected his goodness and glory. So that's the state of everyone. So what's the answer? I'm going to read to you from Romans 6:22. Great little verse, Romans 6:22. It's a good idea with me. If you love following along looking at verses, I tend to move reasonably quick. Just bring a notepad and a pen and scribble them down, and then you can look them up later. Works pretty well. Romans 6:22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. Slavery to God means living the life the way we were created to live. We are set free from the shackles that kept us living for God, and instead we are made slaves to God and his desires for our life, his passions for our life, his commands on our life, his demands on our life. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28-30, you'll know it well, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Absolutely beautiful picture, and I think sometimes we miss a critical factor in this verse. Come to me and you will get rest, but my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We miss that sometimes. There is still a yoke. Now it's easy and it's light, but there is a yoke, and a yoke was what bound an oxen and made it easy to steer for the driver. We are still under a yoke. So we know that for freedom, Here we've got to hold these two things in tension. For freedom, we've been set free. We also know that freedom in reality is slavery to God. So now we need to understand what that means and how it is that that slavery is in fact freedom. So the question is, was there anything wrong with the law itself that the Jews lived under? The answer is no. The law was perfect. What was the problem? People couldn't obey it. People couldn't live by it. So people as slaves to sin couldn't live by the rules and laws that God created. The law was fine, but people could not live according to the rules and principles that God gave. We could not keep the law. That is the problem. You could put it like this. It's like the New South Wales state of origin side is us and Queensland is the law of sin. No matter how much New South Wales might want to win, they can't because they are slaves to the law of sin, Queensland. So, that's what it kind of looks like in reality. Now, if we've been given Christ's righteousness because he lived a perfect life and overcame sin and death to set us free from sin and death, and now we are slaves to God. Now, how is that freedom? Because God is changing our very natures. We are no longer slaves to sin, but slaves to righteousness. The battle has changed. No longer are we bound to a law we cannot keep. We are filled with love we cannot lose. And this is what will affect our behavior. This is why we are free. This is why Christ's yoke is easy. It is a yoke of love. Christ said the fruit you get will lead to eternal life. The fruit you get leads to sanctification and eternal life. You don't work to make an orange tree produce oranges. It's the fruit you get. Previously, you were a cactus. You didn't have to work hard to produce thorns. God says when you have been made his, you will bear good fruit. It's the natural outworking of becoming a Christian. God has turned you into a good fruit tree. You will produce good fruit. Now we're going to get back to our passage, Galatians 5, our key passage, Galatians 5, 16 to 23. Galatians 5, 16 to 23. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So there you go, the two fruits of slavery. The first one, the fruit of slavery to the world and sin, idolatry, strife, jealousy. The second one, the fruit of slavery to Christ, gentleness, self-control, goodness. These lists are absolutely evident in the world. Turn on the TV, you will see the fruit of slavery to sin. Against these things, there are no law. We have living for Christ working out in our daily life, brought about by the Spirit who is in you, conforming you to the image of Christ by your overwhelming sense of love and gratitude for Christ who has set you free. So previously, what was law to do now has become your nature to do. It is written on your heart. So previously, when the things of God would seem like legalism, the things of God now seem like joy. Because that's the fruit of the Spirit working out in your life. I'll make an example like this. I haven't warned anyone about this, but I'm going to pick on Tyler here. Let's pretend for a moment, Tyler. You are my slave. I am your master. Thank you. You get the idea? You must do anything I tell you, correct? Because you're my slave, right?
Yes, sir.
I order you, henceforth, to take some time off work every day and go for a surf. Is that a burden to you, Tyler?
Yes.
Is that a burden? No, why not? Because you like serving, right? That's exactly the point. Thank you. That's all I want to make. So why is it slavery to Christ is freedom? This is a critical point you've got to get your head around. Because Christ, when you come to Him, is changing your very nature and molding you into the image of Christ, which means you begin to love the things that Jesus loves and hate the things that Jesus hates. So whatever it is that Christ loved, you begin to love because you're being made into His likeness. So He is your master. You do have to obey Him. But the things He commands you to do are the things you adore because you're being made like Christ. So be the same as if I got any girl in history up here and I said, "You're my slave. I order you to eat chocolate." And they'd be like, "Yeah, that's cool." Because every girl loves chocolate, right? So that's what I'm talking about. That's what it means to follow Christ. That's why slavery to Christ is freedom. That's what it means. So what does that mean in reality? What does that look like? I'll tell you a really simple way to do it. Go through the Bible and find out the things that Jesus loved. This is John 4:34. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." My food, the thing that sustains me, is to do the will of the Father and accomplish His work. Now, when you are being molded to be like Christ, what does that mean for you? It means you will be able to say, "My food, the thing that sustains me, is to do the will of God and accomplish His purposes." That will not be a trial, that will not be a burden, because you're becoming like Christ. That's why it's freedom, that's why it's not law. It's your passion, your heart, your desire to do the things that Jesus loved. So I'm going to flip over to John 15. It's really simple, you can do this yourself, just find anything that Jesus was into. Jesus said, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." I keep my Father's commandments and my joy is full. I love to do the things that God wants me to do. And Jesus said, lo and behold, when you're a Christian, when you're following me, guess what? You're going to obey my commandments and your joy will be full because you're going to be like me and that's the things I like to do. Understand? Like, it's very simple when you break it down, isn't it? You are being made like Christ. You will love the things that Christ loves. I'll do one more. We'll go to Hebrews. Hebrews 12:1-2. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." You're like, wow, that is incredible what Jesus did. And it is, don't get me wrong. But we are becoming like Jesus. And it means we will endure shame. It means we will endure suffering for the joy set before us to sit with God. As it was for Christ, we are becoming like Christ. Now, we are not going to atone for the sins of the world, but we are going to love the things that Christ loved and be like Him and hate the things that Christ hated. This is why when someone says to me, when I'm talking about this kind of message, and I'm talking about being free in Christ, and I say openly, there are no laws, there are no rules, and people come up to me and they say, "Cool, that means then, Sam, we can do whatever we want." And my response is, "I don't think you know Jesus. Because if you knew Jesus, you'd be being changed into His image. And you would internally hate the things that Jesus hates. Which means you're not under law because you hate sin. Because Jesus hated sin. And you are passionate about the things of God because Jesus was passionate about the things of God. That's why we're not under law, we're under love, because Christ's love is molding us into His image. So that's why it's freedom. There are no rules and boundaries because our very character is being made like Christ. So the critical question is, why doesn't it always feel that way? Why is it sometimes it seems that the flesh is stronger and that it is no longer your joy to do the things of God and to live the way he wants you to? I'm going to flip back to Galatians 5:16, which said, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Why does it not feel like that? Sometimes you need to walk by the Spirit. Let me explain it to you like this. When you are changed into being Christ's slave, there is still the old sin nature within you. And the two natures are at war within you. But here's the critical thing to understand. The sin nature, the world nature, remains the default position. You have to actively choose to walk in the flesh, or you by automatic default will walk, choose to walk in the Spirit, or by automatic default you will walk in the flesh. That's why Jesus said daily, you know, you need to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. Every day it's a conscious decision to deny self and put Jesus first. I don't know many Christians who wake up some mornings and go, you know what? It's a flesh day today. I'm going to deny the Spirit and I'm going to walk in the flesh. Now, they're probably not a Christian if that's what they say. It doesn't work like that. What happens is very simple. We stop focusing in on the things of God. We stop pouring into his word. We stop meeting in prayer. We stop encouraging and rebuking one another. And automatically, you find that you're in the flesh. You never made a choice to be in the flesh. You simply stop choosing to walk in the Spirit. That's what it means to be your default position. And then one day you kind of realize and you go, I'm far from God at the moment. I haven't been honoring him. I haven't been in love with him. Sin is now more evident in my life. I feel less happy than I was before. I have less joy than I had before. I am such an idiot. I have more joy when I'm walking in the Spirit. Life is better when I'm walking in the Spirit. And then you figure that out and you repent and you walk in the Spirit again and you go, man, I was so stupid. Life is so much better now. But then at some point down the track, you let sin, you let the things of the world kind of dominate your thinking above the things of God, and you find yourself back in the flesh. Now, how do you avoid that? How do you stay walking in the Spirit? We're just going to have a quick look at Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Whatever you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. In other words, surround your senses with things that are of God and God will be with you. You will walk in the Spirit and not gratify the flesh. I know Christians who watch shows like Sex in the City, Desperate Housewives, The Shire, and garbage like that, and guess which part of your nature that feeds? It's not rocket science, is it? If you spend half an hour to 40 minutes a week listening to a sermon, don't read your Bible through the week, don't spend any time in prayer through the week, but you watch, let's say, 2 to 3 hours of TV a night, which side of your nature is going to get fed? Which side of your desires is getting fed? The world and its desires, which is what TV basically is. Christians who spend all their time playing sport, watching sport, dreaming of sport, which side of their nature are they feeding? Or at work, dreaming of work, fighting for promotion at work, doing everything they can about career. Which side of the nature are you feeding? God has set us free from sin and death. He has given you his Spirit, but you must walk in the Spirit and not grieve the Spirit by making lots of stupid choices which only bring the flesh back to the fore. Hear me say this, the only Christian who does not feel they are free in Christ is the one who is walking in the flesh. The only Christian who does not feel they are free in Christ is the one who is walking in the flesh. The reason is this. If you truly are a Christian, when you sin, you will grieve the Spirit. And you will know that you're grieving the Spirit. The Spirit will bring it to your conscience and you will feel awful. And you will lose the joy of the Spirit. And they are the most miserable people you ever meet, backslidden Christians. They can't fully enjoy the things of the world and they've lost the joy of following God. And instead they sit in this netherland of hopelessness. When the things of God feel like boundaries, it's an indicator that you need to repent. Get down on your knees, ask God's forgiveness, and choose again to walk in the Spirit. The nature of the Spirit in you, the nature of Christ in you, rejoices in no sex before marriage, rejoices in not getting drunk, rejoices in not chasing money and materialism. But flesh rebels against it. So we have to choose the things of God. If you don't find Christianity a joy, of course the other option is that you don't have the Spirit. Many people are born into Christian families, attend church their whole life, go to youth group, have never done anything really bad, but really wish you could. Indicator that you've never actually been filled with the Spirit. So freedom in reality is slavery to God, which means you've been set free from sin and death to live how you were created to live. The reason you are not under law, the reason Christ's yoke is easy and his burden is light, is that he is changing your very nature, your very substance, into the image of Christ. So you now become a lover of the things of God. And that is freedom to obey them. That is why we pray. That is why we read our Bibles. We've been filled with the Spirit and we are being changed into God's image, so we desire the things of God, so we read Jesus getting up while it's still dark to spend time in the Word. Do you think he did that because it was legalistic? Or do you think he did that because he desired and loved to spend time with his Father? So we're not under law. Love is our motivation because we love the things of God. Let me share with you two verses which summarise basically everything I've been talking about. I probably could have read these and then ignored my whole sermon. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18, toilet verse, absolutely pivotal. Get it up there somewhere where you're just going to see it all the time. Just got to know this one. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Incredible. The Spirit of God is in you. And you are free because he is transforming you into the glory of Christ from one degree to another. And you will live out the passions, the loves, the righteous anger. You become like Christ. And in that is ultimately freedom. It's an incredible picture of what it means to be a Christian. We, by the Spirit, are being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. And where the Spirit is, there is freedom. Christianity is the only freedom in the world. When we are born again into the ever-increasing image of God. If you think of Christianity as a set of rules or boundaries, then you are out of step with the Spirit. Repent, fall in love with Jesus, and experience the joy and love as you are transformed into his glory from one degree to another. That's the joy of freedom in Christ, to be his slave. Let's pray. Lord, this is overwhelming, magnificent truth. Lord, to think that we being made like Christ is beyond our full comprehension. But Lord, we know it's true. We know that the natural fruit of the Spirit is the character of Christ: gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, goodness. So Lord, we pray that we give up on rules and legalism. We pray instead, Lord, that we would fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And as we are in love with him and filled with the Spirit, as we focus on him, we'll be made like him. And then we'll deny the things of the world and put the things of Christ above all else. So, Lord, we pray simply that you help us become more like Jesus. We ask that in Christ's name. Amen.